You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Monday. Joining me from Granbury, Texas is Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's up? How you doing?
That playing that song just as I come on is kind of uncomfortable. Like, are you missing me, Mac? Is that what it is? It's been a long weekend. You're like,
I am.
I need my company. You know, it's kind
of
like
more of a guide, more of your guide, more of your guidance. Like a lot of people, I look to you to.
Yeah,
I look to you.
Okay, here's the rule though today. No. Negative input.
All right. See you later.
Yeah. Well, I got nothing to say. I got talking to you.
I'm not sure how we talk for an hour without. I don't know.
Oh, I can tell you things.
Okay. All positive. All right.
Hey, one of the truth. October. Today's the. For everybody that doesn't know it, today's October 22nd. Usually, like today. Early voting starts here in Granbury, Texas. So if you're listening to Granbury, get out and vote.
Get out and vote, yeah.
Because your vote does count. Otherwise, those people that have slated to go to the island will take control, and the island will never be a dream. Yep. It'll just be a dream. It will never come to fruition. So get out and vote so we can make the island come true, and we can start populating the island. Second thing.
You might need a bigger island. Just
Mac.
I'm not being negative.
I was talking about this weekend.
Besides the island?
And I said, listen, about the island. Let's get some facts. So they brought it up too. And I said, let me get some facts straight on the island. Okay? And I didn't want to say this, but it doesn't matter how big the island is. Because once you get to the island, that's it, man. You're never coming. There's no reintroduction back into the civilian world.
One way.
This is.
One way trip?
Yeah, but it's, you know, and people say, well, what's the infrastructure going to be like? I don't give a shit. Just give me an island. You're not going there to vacation.
Oh, it's, so QOL, is quality of life is not an issue?
Yeah, the island could be a freaking closet with some homeless guy with a hammer and pay him a nickel every time he knocks someone on the head.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's just a figure of speech. Right. There is no island, meaning that there's no paradise. You're not going to hear it. The plane, the little short guy come running out in the white suit with Ricardo Montalban next to him. No. Nope. That's not the island. The island is... You're going to go away. I want to say it soft. So I'm not like, mean. Like.
So nobody thinks you're mean?
Yeah, I'm mean. I'm like, you're going to go.
You're going to go bye-bye?
You're going.
Oh, that's what the island is code for? You going bye-bye?
Yeah. You're going bye-bye, baby. You're going bye-bye.
Oh, all right. All right. So now I know it.
1963, yes. October 22nd.
Yes.
What happened?
We went to.
Come on, you're good at this.
October 22nd.
What's 1963? What happened in 63? Biggest deal going on.
Kennedy was killed in 62. Johnson's the president. October of 1963. No idea.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
It was a Texas thing.
No wonder I don't know.
No, but okay, so let's back up a couple years. Talk about Kennedy.
Yeah, that's a Texas thing, too.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, not that thing, yeah. That thing happened in November. But the Bay of Pit, or the his speech, what was that, 1961? His speech to the people about, hey, this is his decision. That happened October 22nd in the evening, of course, but...
Wait. What do we talk about? What decision?
When Kennedy, his famous speech to the people about what he opposed to do about the nuclear weapons that they discovered in Cuba.
Oh.
Remember, like, the whole world's on the edge now, and this was, like, the beginning of it? That was October 22nd.
But that was in 1962, not 1963.
No, 1963 was a Texas history moment.
Oh, so you... okay.
I was just going to take you down Texas history.
All right.
1836, Sam Houston is inaugurated as the first president of the Republic of Texas.
Oh, well, we're all fired up about that.
That's right.
What happened to the Republic of Texas?
It was annexed by the United States.
After it was defeated and rescued by... After
it was defeated.
It was defeated by the Mexican government. The United States then came in.
No, it wasn't.
What was it?
No, don't listen to the history that's written by the North.
What do you call it? What would you call that? Victory? What would you call that event at the Alamo? Would you call that a victory? Or how would you describe that?
That was, it was a victory. They didn't surrender.
It was a moral victory.
Yeah, it was. It became the battle cry that then they took over and defeated the Mexicans.
Okay, so
we didn't need the help of the. You're talking about another time.
Yeah, but who needs a battle cry? Okay, because normally when you have a battle cry, that means something really bad happened. Remember the Maine.
Yeah, remember the Alamo.
Remember the Maine. Remember
but
Pearl.
You know,
remember
to keep
Pearl
things
Harbor.
Up, remember the Alamo. And I'm not going to downplay this. It wasn't all Texans that lost their lives in the Alamo.
Yeah, Davy Crockett was there.
Well, there were people from all over even Europe, Irishmen, British guys. But
the Irish.
Fundamentally, people that believed in what the Republic of Texas believed in. And that was, you know, the freedoms.
They were there, right? Some Irish guy. Is he
drunk in a pub?
Exactly. And now you're going to sell me.
Got out of town. Couldn't get out of town in time.
Exactly. Got trapped. Like, look, you're either with us. If you go by yourself, you're going to get skinned alive. Shit. Why does this always happen to me?
You're the drunk Irish.
Exactly. Because I got drunk and I passed out for 2 days. That's right. Yeah, they were all there. Sons of Texas. They ended up for liberty. Maybe not. All right.
No, they were there. They did
their... I agree.
But yeah, Davy Crockett.
Davy Crockett. King of the Wild Frontier, man.
Yep. Davy Crockett.
All right, so what's the big Texas event today?
Oh, you got me to pull it back up? Okay, hang on. I was just going to make fun of it, and then you were like, you're
no.
Catching
on. On 1934, Pretty Boy Floyd was shot to death by federal agents and local police on a farm near East Liverpool, Ohio. Bank robber. Back in the age of big-time famous bank robber celebrities. What the hell?
What?
Yeah. John Dillinger, Babyface Nelson, Pretty Boy Floyd, big American celebrities, bank robber. Yeah, not sure.
Yeah, that's right.
On this date, 1981, the government decertified the aircraft. This is near and dear to your heart. Wasn't Ralph an air traffic controller?
Yeah.
On this date, 1981.
Yeah, Reagan fired them all.
Fired them all. See you later, boys. Hey, anybody looking for work? We got some job openings here.
What's this city of hate?
City of hate?
Dallas, known as the city of hate.
Yeah, of course.
That's not Dallas.
No. No, it's not.
Yeah, no, not. Not Dallas.
That's something else. Type.
Hey, I was meant to tell you something. First of all, what a freaking game!
Hey, what was the Texas event that happened today in history?
Oh, I can't find it now.
Okay,
we'll come back to that.
I was just searching
through stuff, and it came up. And then I was like going to bait you into this, and then now I can't find it.
Stuck inside your own OODA loop.
Yeah, it's so tight. I'm so freaking like, because I'm thinking so fast. I'm thinking faster than I can actually think.
Oh man, on this date in 2014, that was that event up in Ottawa when that guy shot a soldier standing guard outside the.
That was in Canada.
Yeah. Shot in outside of their war memorial and then stormed the Canadian Parliament building before he was shot and killed by the sergeant of arms.
Yeah, that's crazy. But what a great baseball game, man.
What, Dodgers Brewers?
Yeah. Dodgers, cool. They're pitching, man. They came together, dude. At the last moment, they got it together. But there were some close ones there. I thought for sure that Milwaukee was gonna take it, but then they just couldn't capitalize on anything.
Yeah, they had the game at home. And,
the crowd was quiet.
Pretty close game until Yasiel Puig hit a 3-run home run.
Yep.
Made it 4-1.
Stadium went silent.
Yeah. And you know what? At this time of year, it's all about starting about your pitching. And good pitching tends to get good hitting out. And so whoever can pitch. How do you feel about your ace missing a start because of a belly button ring infection?
I saw that. I don't care. Who sent that out? ATV Tire Man that sent that out?
No. That was on ESPN. It was like, I don't know if like
slow day in the news.
Exactly. It was like, okay. When did men started wearing belly button jewelry?
Did you
know that that was a thing? I didn't know that was a thing. Guys wore it.
No. Come on. Next thing you tell me that men are getting tramp stamps on the back of their.
Your ace got a little bell in his belly button.
Yeah, I know.
I read that and I went, what? We're doing that now?
No.
I guess. Whatever, man. Whatever.
Hey, do you follow the zodiac signs?
No. I don't believe in any of that stuff.
I don't anymore. I used to when I was, you know, of course when you're a single guy, you know, you get run into those hippie chicks that are always like,
you believe in all kinds of things.
Yeah. And then you ask them theirs. Then you got to make sure you redo your math and your history, and you got to find the one that's compatible. You're like, really? Oh, I'm an Aries. I'm like, oh, my God.
So
we're so compatible.
Mark's mentor, he was a he had a variable. He had a variable zodiac sign.
Who?
What's Mark's? What's the last name on the jersey?
Oh, Cement.
Mark Cement.
Yeah, Cementer. I'm like, what? Oh, Cement. Mark Cement. Mark Cement, Mark Cement had
a floating
horoscope, just in case. But so you look at this. I was laughing about this. You know, so Aries,
yes, the Archer,
have ram-like eyebrows, a smug expression. They should not be quite so smug because they're constantly clunking themselves in the skull. Cat Stevens. Was probably an Aries. Aries rarely say one thing and do another. They usually do the wrong thing and won't discuss it. Never point this out to an Aries unless you want your kidneys pulled out through your sinuses. Aries folks love Pisces. Pisces people make them feel well grounded. So this is funny. Goes on here. So what's yours? What's your sign?
Sagittarius.
Oh. So your birthday's after mine.
Yes. Your birthday's coming up.
Yeah. Okay, so Sagittarians are born adventurers.
Hmm. Oh, thank you.
Like smashing spiders with their bare hands and trying to walk to the bathroom in the middle of the night with the lights out.
Who turns the light on? It'll only keep you from going back to sleep because you know
darkness is your friend.
You're not going back to sleep anyway. I was awake, I swear to God, for 2.5 hours last night. I woke up by some kind of nightmare about being in a flood and being in a car and trying to, you know, drive out of it. And people were saying you can't go that way. But,
well, here, let me finish this. This gets funny. They would sooner sustain crippling injury than do anything easy, the easy way. Yeah, that's you.
No, it's not.
Sagittarians love to entertain their friends, family, and total strangers. This often includes transvestitism. Nearly every Sagittarian was born into the wrong gender. yes, I can see that. I can see that. Sagittarians are loud and have no social graces. Holy shit, man, this is like your resume.
Exactly.
They seek to offend. Sagittarians usually have nicknames like Thunder Pooper or Vomitus Maximus.
Nice.
Animals and small children love Sagittarians. This is unfortunate since adults usually hate them.
What's your sign again now?
However, Sagittarians make excellent circus freaks and vagrants. So mine is Scorpio. You got into computers early so you could use made-up bullshit terminology and get away with it. Most hackers are Scorpios, and most people who think that they're going to find fame on a chat board. You embarrass Libras. That's funny because that's my other half. Because you like your coffee straight out of the bag, eaten with a spoon. That is so true. You may actually chalk full
so
of
you
nuts.
So you never actually believe this stuff.
Yeah, it's funny.
You just used it to manipulate other people.
Right. Okay. You take your paranoid beatnik approach to your life very seriously. Many Scorpios have found ways to successfully smoke in the shower. Never smoked, but that does sound interesting.
Hold on. Okay. I don't know what he's reading from. All right. This is the real one. Scorpio traits. Focused, brave, balanced, faithful, ambitious, intuitive. Negative traits. Jealous, secretive, resentful, and manipulative.
I don't know why they call those bad traits, because I use those as good.
It's called being manipulative.
I manipulate for the good.
Oh, thank God.
I don't manipulate you for bad reasons. I manipulate you for good reasons. So that's good.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
That's a good trick.
Who wouldn't know
that? I used to argue about this about being a narcissist. I'm like, but I know I'm a narcissist. So that's a good trick.
You do?
Yeah. I used to walk into, like I said, Nicole, she was our division SARC, Sexual Assault Response Coordinator. Yeah. And we were talking about it. She'd be laughing. She's like, you know, I've never met anybody that's so narcissistic as than you. And I said, yes, but I know I am. And I'm okay with it. But my narcissism is a good trait because I use it. She'd just be laughing, like putting her head back like, oh, my God.
Exactly. We're going to go here. Yeah. We're going to go here.
No.
People love.
But being manipulative, I use it for a good trick. I'm reading funny horoscopes.
People love those little routines.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not reading.
What they expect is they're gonna call you a narcissist, and then you're gonna recoil and say, "No, I'm not," and you're gonna get indignant when you begin to expound on why it's such a good thing. That's funny.
I like, because this is funny horoscopes. Geminis. Who's, you know anybody that's a Gemini?
No, I don't know Gemini. Who would waste their time? When I hear somebody say.
It's funny, though.
When I hear somebody say, I believe in.
Yeah, oh, I'm all over it, man. Yeah, I'm all, because I will manipulate it. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't ever show me your button, right? That's your button. Everyone loves a Gemini because everybody loves a schizophrenic. I love that.
How do you think Edison found a way to record stuff in 1877? Like, how does that make sense?
Was he a Gemini?
No, he was not a Gemini. He was an Apollo.
What? There's no such thing.
What?
There's no such thing as an Apollo. Are you making up a new...
Apollo?
Oh, I see.
On this date in history,
the Roman names instead of the Greek.
No, I just made that up. On this date in 1879, Thomas Edison perfects the carbonized cotton filament light bulb. Edison.
You know, Thomas Edison was a joke, though.
Yeah, I agree. Why?
He argued the whole. It was Edison that came out with AC power, right?
I can't remember. Come on, who remembers that?
Yeah, I think it was Edison that came, that really pushed AC, alternating current, where...
You know what? He's got something.
What?
You know what? Just stop doing this.
What am I doing?
You know what you're doing.
No, I saw this on a video.
Look, it's not like you. It's not like you have in that big fat head of yours, all right? AC current associated with Thomas Edison, and we're just musing about it, okay? So Mike's sitting in front of his computer. I say Edison, Mike.
No, here, I'll even share screen with you. Look,
Mike searches on him.
This is what I'm reading. And so then I'm sharing my screen with you.
And then he muses. You know, isn't Edison responsible for
AC current guy?
And who is the DC current? The Tesla dude?
Tesla.
Yeah,
you're right. See, you're smart.
No, I don't know if I'm right. But
I don't know if it was Tesla. Tesla did something different.
Tesla, yeah.
He changed it. But so you've just seen the guy with the
ball. Why do you think Edison's bullshit?
Because of the did you ever see the video of the unibrow guy?
Unibrow. Which one?
Yeah. He does a YouTube channel on electricity.
No.
Oh, my God. You're missing life. Are you serious? You've never seen this guy?
Yeah. I may have seen him. I don't recall. I'm not the biggest YouTube guy. I'll go there to watch something. But, you know, YouTube's a big deal in our culture.
Yeah, I go to watch something, too. But YouTube's gathering information on me.
Why do I know that? Mike, where is Plaza Luis Real? Oh.
That's in...
it's in Winnipeg.
It's in Argentina.
It's his birthday today.
Whose?
Oh, my God. I'm a genius. Nationality?
Who are you talking to? Talking to me?
Yes. Canadian politician. As a political and spiritual leader of the Métis people... of the Canadian prairies, this sounds like it could be you. He led two resistance movements against the Canadian government, seeking to preserve Métis rights, M-E-T-I-S rights, and culture. He was arrested and charged with treason before being executed in 1885. Oh. Yeah. Plaza Luis Real, up in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you looking at my screen?
Yes.
Okay, this guy. You never seen this guy?
That guy's a unibrow guy?
Yeah, he's got a unibrow.
No. He looks like he does stupid stuff.
No, but it's all to get stuff across. So he did this. He did this video I was watching yesterday on AC/DC, like alternating current, direct current. And he was slamming Edison.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was talking about, he was debunking all that free power guys.
What do you mean free
He's
power?
Funny.
Explain this stuff. You're talking gibberish to me.
Like this guy. The pain of electricity, AC versus alternating current versus direct current.
Jerry
Shaw. He actually does this.
Jerry Shaw.
But he's a, okay, here. This is the one I was looking at. His name is Menda Sangender.
What?
Yeah. So he's talking about AC/DC, the differences. And I was listening to it, and I was like, holy shit, I didn't know this. It was kind of neat. That's why I brought it up.
What's the difference?
I didn't pay attention. It was just funny. See how he's talking about the waves, the sine waves?
Yeah.
Ugh. Did you ever take electronics as a class?
No.
Oh.
I went to a Catholic school. We didn't have shop.
I took electronics.
Did you?
And yeah, and I really liked it. I just didn't like the instructor.
You know, big part of.
I know. But it was just this guy. All I can remember, his name was Mr. Kaspersky or something like that. Or not like the, no, now I'm thinking of the software stuff, the anti-intrusion stuff. But he's something like that. Anyway, he was just really a negative kind of guy, and he's just,
you
didn't write the right
stuff. Do you like negative people? Some people don't like negative people. Some people do like negative people.
I hate negative people.
You do?
Yeah.
Like how do you like nuisance hate them or actively hate them and seek?
Like go out of my way to hate it.
Negative people.
Hmm. Yeah, I hate negative people. Oh, did you see this puppy?
I do see that.
You see
puppy.
This?
Mike and
it's
I look,
a good-looking dog, right?
We're looking. No, it's not. I don't like it. It looks like a tiger. I saw
an Australian Shepherd.
I saw a big coyote down the street from my house.
Don't ever do this. Don't ever take a picture of a good-looking puppy like that.
Yeah.
And say, "Hey, would you be interested in this dog?"
Why?
You know, and you know to have another dog, and they were like, "Oh, yes!" And I say, "Oh, it's too late. They already gave him away." But I just want to let you know that was offered. Why did you do that?
In Australia.
No, it's not. It was an Australian Shepherd.
Oh, it's an Australian Shepherd offered here in the United States.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So now we've done today in history.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. What else happened this weekend? Some health happened this weekend. Oh, it was beautiful here.
Oh, the weather?
Oh.
It was a little warm here. I re-engaged my sprinkler system and defeated it. So I'm happy to report. Yep. Yeah, and I also did the chef about 2 weeks ago talked about a honey soy concoction to put on salmon.
And yeah, I've done that.
I've done that, and that turned out pretty well. What explain to me your honey soy glaze? How do you do it? Give me the parts and tell me how you do it.
It's all the taste, but yeah. Then you the key is reducing it down to make it,
right.
You know, get it thicker.
Thicker.
But I like it with so I've tried it with two different honeys. I've done it with like the store bought, you know, the bear kind of guy, the plastic little bear, and then I've done it with actual real honey. I think there's a huge difference when you do it with the real honey. But it's just soy seasoning into a pan, and then you mix some honey, and then I take a whisk, and I keep it going until it thickens up a little bit like a glaze.
Right.
Drizzle it on the salmon when it's done.
You're not making that much of it. What are you preparing it inside of?
What am I preparing it inside of?
Yeah.
Usually a double broiler, I have a small double broiler.
A small double broiler? What is that?
It's just like a small, it's two pans inside of one, and one pan is in there and it's got water.
Oh.
And then that bubbles up and then it gets real hot and then it heats it. So, because I don't pay attention to it, and so I like to keep it going.
The chef said you got to pay attention to it.
Yeah, so I just let it sits in there and bubbles and evaporates and gets thicker.
He cautioned me. He said, "I know you like to walk away. Don't walk away from this one."
Yeah, I could see burning that. That would burn real quick on the stove.
Yeah. Well, what I used was a diffuser. And then you're not making that much of it. Yeah, how about that? Boom.
Yeah. But, and that stuff won't keep either, so don't use it.
Yeah, so I asked, I asked my son, what do you think? I said, "Hey, how about that glaze?" I said that about 30 times last night.
Was it, because the problem is when it's runny, it's gross.
Yeah, no, you're right. Reducing it is important. Reducing it is important. The,
try putting in a crushed red pepper. Pepper flakes.
I used a little crushed garlic.
No, crushed red pepper flakes.
Which was
get that good. Spice up there.
Which was good. No, I'd experiment with it, but no, it's very good. Got high marks last night, so I was pleased about that.
Yeah.
Hey,
I completed Ron's rifle.
What did you have left to do on it?
Put it to build it. Oh, I sent you pictures of it.
You sent me the picture. Yeah. Oh my.
Oh yeah.
That's right. There you have it. Mike's brain disorder in action right there. Yeah, it's up on All Marine Radio. It's on the read board. You want to see Ron's
rifle? The 22nd?
You want to see Ron's rifle? Go to the read board on All Marine Radio. You'll see it.
Yeah, he said, hey, send me a picture of it. So I sent a picture of it in the case.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, funny guy. So,
hold on, let me read you an email. Mac, you mentioned that you were on active duty on October 23rd, 1983. Had the gunner come in the Marine Corps at that time? Were you on the day that the barracks blew up?
No, I was in high school, senior in high school, getting ready.
I remember, TV wasn't like it. I don't even know where we would have seen the TV. Oh, I'll tell you what, when we went to classes, we would have seen it on TV. It was back in the day when you had the TV's monitors on off to the sides. And maybe, a large, huge TV on something that rolled onto the stage. But there wasn't that many of them around the room. And so, you're 200 and whatever in a classroom and you're watching the videotape that came back was that, that building in ruins and guys in red PT shorts getting drug out of it. And I remember, one thing I'll never forget, my platoon sergeant at OCS is now a major general, Craig Timberlake. And he
I know him.
He walked in and he said, everybody see the videotape? And like, yes, platoon sergeant. And he pointed over to Iraq and he said, I can't remember the name he said. I want to say it was Lusk, L-U-S-K, but I don't remember. He said he was here a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take this shit seriously, he said, take it seriously now. And it was just, you joined.
Oh, what's up with that?
Yeah, I know. You joined the Marine Corps, right? It's kind of interesting because kids who join the Marine Corps today, they can watch the videos. They know so much about the Marine Corps. I didn't know shit about the Marine Corps except that I wanted to be a Marine. I saw Marines in San Diego, and they always impressed me. I read about them as a kid. But when I saw Marines, man, they impressed the shit out of me. I can remember sitting in the bullpen when my dad managed the Padres, and they would bring recruits, and the Naval Training Center was still in San Diego, and the recruit depot was there. And they would each have a section in the second deck, the Marines on the right field side and the Navy guys on the left field side. The Marines would sit there at the position of, I won't say attention, but
no,
they, right?
But yeah, you'd sit there,
sitting up straight.
I went to the game once.
Hands on your, hands on your knees or your, and no screwing around. If you needed to go to the head, you went and you requested permission from the drill instructor. The drill instructor standing in the aisles, right? The Navy guys were having a party. And I was a 16, 17 year old kid, and I'd watch this stuff every Sunday at home games because they would come. And I just look at those Marines, man. Those guys are tough. And I just wanted to be a Marine.
And you're like, I want to do that.
I want to do that. And so when I got out of college, I went to work for Merrill Lynch. I hated it. And I decided I got to do something I like, And I had my dad as a bad example. I mean, a guy who loves, he's going to work at Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park. Right, Wrigley Field. He loves going to work. That's not the real world for most of us. So what do you do? And so I wrote down all the things that I'd like to do, and I thought, I could do most of these in the military, or I should probably go be a coach and a teacher. And the right sequence is I'll do the military first, and if I don't like it, I'll get out in 3 years and go be a coach and a teacher. That was my plan. And so then when I thought, well, which branch? I only looked at the Marine Corps. But I didn't, compared to what kids know today, I didn't know shit. I didn't know shit about them. They showed me a picture of a plane. Hey, how'd you like to fly these? F-18. Like, of course, man.
Hell no. I said no.
I said, yeah. Would you let me?
I said no.
They're like, well, if you can pass the physical, the eye test. Like, okay.
I said, if you show me that picture again, I am going to leave the Marine Corps.
Okay.
I don't want to be a self-obsessed narcissist. Well,
I thought you are a narcissist.
Yeah, you turned into one anyway.
You overcame your fear of narcissism or your rejection of narcissism. Yeah, so I joined under an aviation contract. But I laughed. I didn't know anything about the Marine Corps other than I wanted to be a Marine. I liked what I saw.
I didn't either.
I wanted to be a Marine. Doesn't surprise me, right? Did your dad talk about it? I mean, he's a Vietnam veteran.
No.
But, yeah.
No. I don't know.
Yeah. So how did it, what did he say when you came home and said, hey, I think I'm joining the Marine Corps?
It wasn't good. We weren't getting along at that time, and then that kind of like, bam, and it exploded. We didn't talk for a long time, man.
Like, how long is a long time?
6 years.
Well, that is a long time. That is a long time. Yeah. Kind of interesting, though. Kind
of
interesting. The world.
Well, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things that he saw and went through that he didn't want somebody else to go through, and I can understand that, and I can respect that. But we're each different in our own way. So, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is, but kids have so much more information now to make decisions on. Like, they know the whole, they know the whole process. Another email. Mac, you mentioned last week, and I made a mental note of it, but I never emailed, that the Army currently doesn't have any female lieutenants serving in their Ranger regiment as platoon leaders.
No.
But they don't seem to get any shit for that. No, they don't.
No, because they are in the Ranger tab. That's, and then they just kind
of. The Ranger tab is bullshit, okay?
Well, it is now.
The Ranger becoming a Ranger?
But that's the test.
But they don't, nobody's like cracked that. Nobody in the media has cracked that. It's like you see articles about IOC on a regular basis. The Marine Corps, IOC.
Well, I used to laugh because, you know, all my airborne buddies were like, airborne, that's hardcore stuff. And I said, maybe in your day. But now, German Shepherds jump out of planes with people. It ain't hard. And they don't do it voluntarily. So don't tell me that it's a, you know, and they're like, shut up. And now, shit, everybody's jumping on airplanes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fun school.
It is. It's like a, yeah. It, like, but back in Carahey boys days and before the invasion of Normandy, yeah, airborne school is probably tough.
Well, they picked, they had their pick. I mean, when you looked at how they built the units, they had their pick out of the, you know, out of the Army.
Yeah.
Right? That's a big Army, man. You're picking out the most fit, and then guys you don't like that show up, you send them back, get more. That's pretty, the Ranger units, airborne units, those guys were tough, man. Those guys, they could pick from everybody. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. But, yeah, but yeah.
I'm on a sexy web page right now.
What they do is they compare the Marine Corps Infantry Officer course to the Army's General Army Ranger course, leadership course, not the Ranger course that takes you to become a Ranger. So the Army has it neatly tucked away. Oh, of course not. So anyway, interesting. The here's one more email. Go back to the honey glaze. Mac, how did you reduce it? I was looking for something. I started to pull out a cast iron.
What?
Wait. I started to pull out a cast iron, small, like single hamburger patty, scrambled egg, very small. And I said, yeah, that's not, you don't use that pan for that. And so I took a 1 cup stainless steel cup. I took the diffuser and put it over a burner, and then I just used the stainless steel cup to make, because I wasn't making that much. So but I wanted it to have a little bit of depth so the fluid could emulsify. Boom,
so
how about that?
You.
Yeah. So that's what I did. And I didn't really watch it the whole time. I kind of did some other stuff too. But I had it on low heat, and so, and then I added more honey. I liked it a little bit more honey-esque. Sweet. Yeah, than soy-esque, if that makes sense. So,
yeah. I mean, it's simple to do, guys. A little bit of garlic, some soy. Just do that to, back and forth, you know, as far as...
So in your initial, more honey or more soy?
Probably equal.
Equal to start.
Yeah, to start. And then I ended up probably adding more soy. But remember, you got to put rice vinegar in it, rice wine vinegar, to give it that. So, it's, you know, the garlic. You could do all sorts of stuff, man. I mean, now you could talk it thinking about it, like you could put ginger in it.
Yeah. That's what the chef said. Do you want ginger?
Yeah. Take fresh ginger and shave that stuff in there.
He said ginger's great.
Ginger's great on anything like that. Chicken, any kind of fish. Meat, if you marinate it long enough. You know, like a skirt steak.
A skirt steak.
That's actually a good marinade, Mac, what you just said. The honey, soy, rice wine vinegar, garlic, ginger, salt and pepper, and some of the crushed red pepper flakes. Make that into, you don't have to really reduce it, but you can make it into a marinade. Throw it in a bag, throw your skirt steak in there, keep it in there, you know, for most of the day, bring that thing out, and then light that barbecue on fire, and then cut it against the grain, not with the grain so it's chewy, and then slice it up that way, and shoot, man, put that on top of some rice or some vegetables. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, vegetables like that are really good.
Yeah. Some stir-fry.
Exactly. A little bit of kind of Asian stir-fry thing. Mac, heard you in the first hour. I'd be curious to hear what the Gunner has to say about a caravan. Like, how does a caravan, like, I was talking about, like, if a caravan of Canadians, like, blew through our northern border and then just was, like, walking into cities. Right. And just walking through the United States, like, we would just sit there and watch them and say, yeah, whatever they want to do is okay. It's like crazy shit to me.
Sure.
Yeah. What? Everybody just says, get out of the way, they're going to the Mexicans, or, hey, don't anybody touch them. The Mexican federales need to shake them down, then they'll go home. I don't really know what's going on. It's crazy.
I don't know what's going on down there.
Yeah, first of all, and then
it's so crazy.
The next question is, and this is under the guise of nothing is the way you see it. I went back to Jeff Flake getting stuck in the elevator and that girl screaming at him, look at me when I'm talking to you. That was all set up. She's the executive director of a liberal.
On. Don't give me that shit that you think was a setup.
It was a setup. And then Nancy Pelosi got caught over the weekend. Right, Hispanic guys are cussing at her, you know, using the F word, telling her to get out of Miami because she's down there campaigning for Donna Shalala. And that was a setup, right wing guys. And again, the thing is, get it to go viral. Because that's, again, the Jerry Springer show.
Well, they're all setups,
right.
Though.
Right.
It's
so,
a game.
So the question is, so all these people spontaneously decided, and nobody's paying for anything, that they're going to come to the United States just before our election.
That's freaking.
Yeah. That's
a coincidence.
Exactly. That's a coincidence. There's a big discussion. A lot of money getting poured into the Texas Senate race.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started.
Beto O'Rourke. He raised like $38 million.
Well, but most of his money all came from like Soros and all the big liberal billionaires.
That's not what he says. He says it's all coming from Texas.
Yeah, I know. It's all donations from Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a lying son of a bitch. That guy spent more money than like all the politicians combined in the state of Texas. He if you ever listened to him, he came to Granbury.
Will he win or lose?
He's going to lose big. All the kooks are for him. I mean, really, like, ugh. Just give me that list. Whoever voted for Beto, give me the list because they are first-class tickets to the island.
Oh, really?
Non-stop, yeah. And I'll even throw in a meal on the flight. It's going to be called Your Last Meal. Anyway. But, yeah, crazy.
How can he win? How can he? So what do the polls say in Texas?
Well, if it's liberal polls, then you say that Beto O'Rourke has got a fighting chance. But if the real polls, again, Mac, I mean, you had this discussion a long time, like, do polls really mean anything anymore? I mean, hell, the day before the election, they had, you know, Donald Trump losing in a huge landslide.
MSNBC, all the cash in Texas may not get Beto O'Rourke past Ted Cruz.
No.
President Donald Trump heads to Houston on Monday. That would be today. O'Rourke broke a three-month Senate fundraising record with a staggering $38 million haul. He still trails Ted Cruz in every recent statewide poll in the state of Texas. Campaign cash.
They said what? He still...
He still trails Ted Cruz every statewide poll. The 46-year-old Democrat's campaign took in a whopping $38 million in the third quarter compared to $12 million for Cruz. O'Rourke, who has not taken money from corporate or labor political action committees.
No, that's the truth, because he didn't take it from him. It first went to another group, and then another group, and it's called laundering. So it went through one group, went through another. So when I gave you the check, I got it from Mike Musselman. I didn't get it from the big liberal. No. I got it from Mike. Now, where did Mike get it from? Shit, I don't know. I'm not the police. I'm not the investigator. No, dude, come on.
Independent outside groups have largely stayed out of the Texas Senate race, putting less than $8 million into it. However, they have piled money into competitive House races in Texas, such as the 7th District outside of Houston.
That's bullshit lie.
That's according to MSNBC.
I know. Oh, yeah. NBC's, they're a legitimate source for news. But Texas is one of those states that's on the crosshairs of liberal America, because if they can turn think about it. If Texas went liberal, right? I mean, could you imagine the governor, the two senators, even if you split the House, but then the I mean, that would be, it's like the holdout. It's, remember the Alamo. Should Texas of all states is going to go liberal? Give up. It's over with.
Hmm.
No. They've been chomping at the bit. You know, it's one of those things. We are, we're kind of the standard. I hate to say it.
Oh, my God.
Right?
There we go.
No, I'm just, you know, I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just saying. I'm stating a fact. These are the facts.
We had,
just the facts, ma'am.
We had a little conversation in the Ask Clown chat room, and it was like they were like, two members were hating Dodger fans, right? Saying stuff like they're so arrogant. Look, and these are people that root for cities like Boston and Seattle. The Seattle fans are insufferable. The 12th man, you know, it's just like stop. Right.
Yeah.
And Red Sox fans are the paragon of virtue. They're the most balanced people to ever have a sports discussion with. No. Fanatic. All right. But I always find it amusing. Like, fans from one region find fans from another region. Like,
crazy.
And then the other thing I find is like, yeah, these people are smarter. Like, well, why are they smart? Like, oh, you mean because just people that drink the water up there are smarter, the air is cleaner, so they're not governed by the bell curve that governs every other population. They're different. Yes. Okay, got it. That's all I needed. Don't need to hear anything else. We're done with this conversation. So, but no, Texas, big-time conservative state. So, I mean, the same thing's happening in as the demographics change in Orange County, that here in Southern California has been always been a Republican county. And now you're seeing the demographics of the county change. And so there's hope where there once was none. So we'll see what happens. Election, I got my ballot in the mail over the weekend.
Yeah?
And let me ask you a question, Marine Corps history question.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Why do you think Chesty Puller, the most famous regimental commander that came out of the Marine Corps in World War II, why was he guarding the MSR in the movement to contact towards the Yalu River?
That's a very good question. I have no idea. You know, I never thought of it like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. Yeah, the most famous, yeah. Hmm. Another reason why I don't mind Chesty Puller.
Yeah. So I got a book.
People always bring that up to me. They're like, oh, Marine? Shit, you must like Chesty Puller. sir, out of all the Marines that you could have said, that's the one guy. Like, what? He's a Marine Corps hero. No, sir, it's overrated.
We don't really discuss that, though, in public.
No. Because he is. He's you know, shit, everywhere you go, his picture's up in some kind of shape, you know, manner and everything else.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think we had a tendency to put up the wrong people as our heroes, you know.
Yeah, he was not. The guy wrote a book about him called Marine! Guy's name is Burke Davis, and it's essentially one of those books that glorifies everything the guy does. And that was like on the reading list, you know. Hey, you know, it was in the PX, Marine, Chesty Puller, you know. And, you know, he dug up Stonewall Jackson's arm or something like that. Stonewall Jackson got somebody got their arm shot off. And Chesty Puller dug it up. You know, it's like one of these books that was written in the 50s and 60s about World War II era guys. And, I don't want to say they're based on fantasy, but there's a lot of romantic stuff in there. And you know, so anyway, good question. What I read in another book was that the commanding general of 1st Marine Division, a gentleman by the name of O.P. Smith, was not a fan of Colonel Puller's. What's odd is, how is he still a colonel in...
Well, he's a Fulbert, yeah.
He was...
He was a lieutenant colonel.
Oh, in World War II?
Yeah, because he had, what is it, 1-7?
1-7 or 2-7.
Yeah, I think it was 1-7.
On Guadalcanal, yes?
Yeah.
But...
So he...
Is that the only fight he fights in World War II?
Yeah, I think so. Then he became a staff guy. And then he got the regiment after the war.
Wow.
Because then there's, like, you know, right after the war, there's, like, the freeze on promotions because they've been promoting everybody,
right.
Like, ridiculous rates.
And they go from, what, like, 500,000 Marines.
Back down to, like, 136, if that.
Yeah, I want to say, yeah, if that is right. I want to say when the Korean War started, it was, I want to say 100,000.
It was, like... No, I think it was less than 100.
I want to say
72, 82.
I want to say 88,000. Puller was then made the executive officer of the 7th Marine Regiment while serving in the Battle of Cape Gloucester. He's awarded his 4th Navy Cross. During this time, when the battalion commanders of 3-7 and 3-5 were under heavy machine gun and mortar fire, he expertly reorganized the battalion, led a successful attack, blah, 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 blah. In September,
blah, 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 blah.
And October 1944, Pollard led the 1st Marine Regiment into the protracted Battle of Peleliu, one of the bloodiest battles in the world. So he was a regimental commander of 1st Marines on Peleliu.
Wait, he was a regimental commander?
Yeah.
And Peleliu. Battalion commander?
On Guadalcanal and Cape Gloucester, which would have been 42, 43, 44, he led the 1st Marine Regiment.
Yeah, I guess you're right. He stayed as the regimental commander for that long?
Couldn't have.
It's World War II, man. The shit was going on in the Marine Corps that boggles our minds.
And this is one of the things on Peleliu is where he catches a lot of grief. 1st Marine Regiment had 3,000 men. 1,749 are battle losses, either killed or wounded, didn't make him change his tactics. So a lot of people said that, you know what, his time has come and gone. The Marine Corps, well, this is Wikipedia. The sentence says here, the Corps commander had to order the 1st Marine Division commanding general to pull the annihilated 1st Marine Regiment out of the line.
Yeah. I mean, there's stories about it. I mean, you hear things about it.
In the November of 1944, he's the XO of Infantry Training Regiment at Camp Lejeune. And then 2 weeks later, he's a commanding officer. After the war, he's made director of the 8th Reserve District in New Orleans, and then commands the barracks at Pearl Harbor. At the outbreak of the Korean War, Pollard was once again assigned as the commander of the 1st Marine Regiment. Participates in the Incheon Landing.
Yeah, I knew that.
Right. Commands held 2417, 1st Marines, 3rd Marine Division, 2nd Marine Division. Interesting. Yeah, he gets a reputation in World War II as not too concerned about casualties and modifying what he's doing given what's in front of him. And so, but how many Navy crosses, Mike? Five? Four?
Five.
Five Navy crosses.
Well, yeah, because he has five, because he has four gold stars, which denotes five, because the ribbon itself is one, and then each star. If he would have had six, it would have been a silver star.
Right. Silver star, the silver star medal, bronze star with combat V.
Didn't he have the Army Distinguished Cross, too, or no?
No, he didn't.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Stop it, all right?
What?
Stop.
What am I doing?
Stop doing that, all right?
I don't know. Okay, if you're accusing... I'm on freaking Benelli's webpage.
Looking. Shut up. Shut your yap. Hold on, email. Are you guys Chesty Puller bashing? No? No, but you know what? Look, at some point... You do have to blow the smoke out of the room and ask the appropriate questions, okay? So one of the most storied Marines in Marine Corps history who will rise to the rank of Major General, right? During the campaign and really one of the most deadly movements to contact in Marine Corps time in Korea, he's assigned to guard the MSR.
Hey, he did have the Army Distinguished Cross. I was right.
How'd you know that? Did you remember?
I just pulled it up.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know what's interesting? If I saw a picture of, in the 1MEF CP, there's a picture of Chesty Puller. And it's just a picture that somebody printed out and posted. I want to say it was on the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is before we had ribbon racks.
By the way, I have more ribbons than Chesty Puller.
Of course you do. And if you look at his ribbons, like, they didn't have bars and things like that. So I think
they're all over the place.
You look at them and you're like, what is that? What is that unmitigated disaster? Right? Get that guy an aid and somebody organize his uniform. Like, could you imagine a night? Like, why haven't your alphas been cleaned? I'm never taking those ribbons off that uniform. And I'm rejecting any new award I get because I'm not going to reshuffle this.
Right.
Yeah. I believe it's him in his, the picture of is him in his, what do we call those, khaki uniforms?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Khaki. Him in his khaki uniform. I think that's what the picture is. And, you know, it's a friggin' nightmare. Line up all those awards, but yeah. No, I mean, when he stands on his own record, he is certainly a legend in the Marine Corps, but if you look at his record of World War II, it's very mixed in terms of casualties and what got achieved. And so I think that, I'm curious, this book that I'm reading now. It's titled On Desperate Ground. It's about the Marine Corps, in the fight at the Chosin Reservoir. And Desperate Ground is a thing that Sun Tzu talks about. Mm-hmm. And let me read it to you, Mike. Sun Tzu says, in battle there are 9 types of situations, 9 kinds of ground. The final and most distressing is a situation in which one's army can be saved from destruction only by fighting without delay. It is a place with no shelter and no possibility of easy retreat. If met by the enemy, an army has no alternative but to surrender or to fight its way out of the predicament. Sun Tzu calls this desperate ground. So that's the title of the book. The situation that, in particular, the 5th Marines and the 7th Marines found themselves on as they were on the west side of the reservoir and had to fight their way back to the rest of the division just to fight their way out to the sea. Which is a pretty incredible amount of history. Were you ever around when those guys got together?
Who?
You.
Around where? Where are you talking about?
Were you ever around the 7th Marines when no. those guys got together?
No. 7th Marines is always at 29 Palms. Well, when I first came in, they were at Mateo.
Yeah. But back in the old Corps.
Yeah. They were at San Mateo. But... I never drank the Kool-Aid with the 7th Marines.
I was up there as a captain, and those guys, you know, Fox Company with Captain Barber and all that came back. And
oh, yeah.
I was out in the field, but I came back, and my next-door neighborhood, Ben, he goes, shit, man. He goes, that was awesome. You know, we just sat around, and you know, they shot the shit. They had a Q&A with, like, Marines, and there was a ton of Marines there. And they were up in the base theater, and sitting at tables, and they were just fielding questions. How did you guys do this? How did you do that? And they were telling their funny stories, you know. So, anyway, pretty interesting. All right, what we got going today? Anything exciting?
No, not really.
Nothing?
No, not really today. Today, not so much.
Beautiful fall
just
day.
Just finishing my coffee.
Man. Beautiful fall day in Granbury.
I don't watch football.
What? What are you talking
about? Oh, you said fall day.
Fall
like
day.
Football day.
No.
Yeah.
No,
fall day in Granbury, Texas.
College football's good.
Yeah, I just can't get into it because it reminds me of regular football, and I hate regular football now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just a hater when it comes to football. So... Yeah.
Nobody around here blames anybody. Our Napa man sent me an email last week, and it contained the following. Tell me if you think this is true or false.
Okay, go.
New guidance with the Almar that just got published last week. The Sam Brown belt is not appropriate civilian wear. True or false? Do you believe it?
It's not appropriate civilian wear?
Yes. Do you believe that's actually in the Almar or not?
Yeah, probably. But
it is.
Yeah, you can't wear the Sam Brown. What, is Luke trying to wear a Sam Brown with his shorts and stuff?
To the beach? What's going on, boys?
Notice my Sam Brown.
Oh, there's a colonel. Hey, colonel. Come on, man. You know what? And I saw it, and I thought, he's not joking about it. Not joking one bit about it.
Yeah, yeah. What the hell, man? Are you serious? But we got to put that in there?
Ugh. That is so funny to me. But I remember at OCS, a friend of mine, Glenn Morris. Glenn Morris wrote a book, and he had me in it. I got in the book. It's called Babylon Blog or something like that. I forgot what I was going to say. I got distracted by Chesty Puller. I have these pictures of Chesty. Oh, no. Morris's dad was a Vietnam-era Marine. And he was an older guy. And he showed up at our OCS graduation in Corfams. And he's like, I begged him last night not to wear them. He's like, what do you mean? They look good. I'm wearing black pants. Why would I wear my Corfams? Dad, come on. What are your other black shoes? No, I'm wearing my Corfam. He's from Texas. I'm wearing my Corfam. So then we all made sure we had to look for him. We all made sure we had to look for him. And I had one other.
Have you ever worn your Sam Brown in your outfits?
No. No, just blue. Have you?
Sam Brown on the alphas looks tight.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Stop it. Stop it. If you're busting that out too much, that means you got some issues.
You know what? I'm going to go bust out my Sam Brown and wear it all over the place.
Yeah. You know what?
With my sword attachment on board.
In Texas, that would play. Who's the general?
Well, Sam Brown, I think, was a Texan.
Who's that? Oh, that's the general. The general? Yes. Yes. He rolls around Granbury, wears a sword. We call him the general.
Yeah. Who was Sam Brown?
He's a belt maker. He's a leather man guy.
Belt maker.
Yeah. He was like a leather guy. He's like Buck. He's Buck for belts.
No, he was a fucking Brit, man.
Sam Brown was?
Yeah, it's Sir Samuel Brown, as a matter of fact.
There we go. I thought you didn't do royalty.
No. I said he was a Texan. I mean, that sounds like a Texan. Sam Brown.
Does sound like a Texan.
Yeah.
Who first wore the Sam Brown belt?
General Brown. Sam.
Sam Brown belt, blah, 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 blah. Although Royal Canadian Mounted Police non-commissioned officers wear this over the left shoulder. What? Origin, Sir Sam Brown, 19th century. British Army officer serving in India, lost his left arm.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, lost his left arm. Oh, there
it is. That would probably, like the photo I'm looking at, there's no hand coming out of his left cuff. So yeah, that's probably a reason why.
Yeah, but it could be shoved inside of his tunic, awkwardly. This made it difficult for him to draw his sword because his left hand was typically used to steady the scabbard while the right drew the sword. Brown came up with the idea of wearing a second belt, which went over his right shoulder to hold the scabbard steady. This would, yeah, there you go.
There you go, because he lost his arm.
I love that.
Cut and corner.
Other officers.
And you know who wears a Sam Brown today? Marine Corps and cops.
Yeah, you see cops wearing it functionally. Other officers began wearing a similar rig and eventually became part of the standard uniform. During the Boer War, it was copied by other troops and eventually became standard issue. Let's see, who's all the Finns wear it? The Germans wore it. The Germans liked it because it looked cool.
Right.
The UK wears it. Mussolini wore it. Hitler did not. United States Army wore it. John Pershing wore it.
Yeah, but then they stopped wearing it.
You know, the Army's toying with the idea of going back to their World War II uniforms, which they ought to, because those things were awesome.
Those are awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Do you want the high collars?
Yeah. If you want to go high on the CDI index.
Shit, yeah. Get rid of that tie, boys.
Yeah.
Put on a Warriors uniform.
Yeah, and with a belt. Sorry, fatzos. Got to go PT. During World War I, the Marine Corps adopted the Sam Brown belt. Later, it was changed to black, the official color of Navy and Marine Corps leather gear.
Yep.
Still worn today. Police forces worldwide.
Yeah.
Interesting. But there you have it. The historical origin of the Sam Brown belt. Functional because Sam Brown had lost his left arm. Studied his...
Dude, that'd be cool. You know, when you said that, I hope the Army does go back to it. It's like John Pershing's, you know, uniforms. With the high collars, with the, because those aren't tight, man. I bet you, if you looked at the Army guys, the Army guys, you know, that would look good in uniform, not fat boys. But they're probably all over it, man. They're probably like, yeah, let's get rid of these.
This is earlier this year, and they've modeled them. Now, the not the World War One uniforms, but the World War Two uniforms that you see in Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
You know, the dark, almost a chocolate brown coat like we wear with a belt, and then they're kind of a gabardine, like a dark tan pant. Those uniforms. U.S. Army to return to World War II era pink and green uniform. This is from Bloomberg. U.S. Army leaders apparently deciding that the greatest generation was also its best dressed are seeking to return to World War II style pink and green uniform. The new Army outfit will be business casual everyday wear that better matches civilian attire in today's professional environment. It will complement, not replace, the current dress uniform. Oh, man. They need to replace that. These uniforms are so much better looking. It's ridiculous.
And well, they're warrior uniforms.
They're warrior uniforms. Hey, would you sit down near your microphone? What are you doing walking around the classroom?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sit your ass down there, Clem.
I'm sitting down.
No.
I am now.
The only problem is they left the belt off. Yeah.
Wait,
if you look at
what did you hear when I was walking around?
Shut up. If you look at the World War II uniform, it's got the belt. But like all services except the Marine Corps, they've done away with the belts. The belt is the tyrannical device, okay? Because when you've got just coat, yeah, you can strap it on. When you got the belt, yeah, nobody wants to go Stay Puft Marshmallow on both sides of the belt. So. It is the tyranny. Only one service does it, though. The service that wants to make you miserable. All right, man. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. You have a
you
great
can
day.
Start walking around the classroom now. See you later.
I am surprised you heard me walking around.
I know you. I know you. I can smell you.
I was getting fidgety. All right, I'll talk later.
See you. There you have it. The one and only Michael Musselman. Big game tomorrow night. Big game tomorrow night. That'll do it. A lot of news, DOD type news. So we check that out today. You'll hear about it. Going expeditionary. If you're in the Washington, D.C. area, come by and say hi. Yeah, come by and say hi. We'll be, I'll have the information where we're going to be tomorrow. But it'll be at the Marine Corps Marathon. In fact, I could tell you right now. All right. We will be at the Gaylord National Resort and Convention Center. Somewhere around there. I will keep you posted. Where is that, Mac? They've had it, my understanding is they've had it here for a number of years. Alright, when you, if you're going south on 395, when you get to the 495, you would head east, you'd cross the river, and it's right on the water. So there you have it. Gaylord National Resort. So, again, be an exciting week. Have a great day. Remember, watch the news with a grain of salt. Whatever you're seeing, for the most part, are manufactured news events. I agree. It's sad. But it's the way, it's the nature of our world. So anyway, have a good afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow. Talk a little bit about Afghanistan tomorrow. Paul Soldier's going to join us. Written extensively about it. So we'll get his thoughts on Afghanistan. On a Monday, All Marine Radio, over and out.